The Kraft Music Hall presenting Bob Burns with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and the Music Maids. Bob's special guests for this evening are Dorothy L'Amour, Herbert Marshall, Little Betty Brewer, the new star of Rangers of Fortune, Wingy Minone, the hot trumpet player, and Dusalina Giannini of the Metropolitan Opera Company. And here's Bob Burns.
Well, that is real pretty, Johnny, but I know something prettier. I don't mean something that's just a little bit prettier either. I mean I know something that's a whole lot prettier than anything I've ever heard in my life. I'm talking about the music I heard around 4 o'clock last Sunday morning. I mean my new little son, Stephen Foster Burns, first squawk. Honestly, Johnny, now you may think that I'm kind of biased or prejudiced about this, but if you don't believe that Stephen Foster Burns' first squawk is the prettiest sound in the world, I can prove it. I made a record of it.
You really made a record of it, Bob?
I really made a record of it. I certainly did, Dottie. I put up a microphone right outside the door, and with a machine I got there, I took the sound as it came through the transom.
Well, now, Bob, as I understand it, this discussion is not whether it's possible or even how it's possible to make a record of a baby's first squawk. The matter under discussion is whether or not your new baby's first squawk is, as you put it, quote, the prettiest sound in the world, unquote.
Always got to be some doubting Thomas like you, kid.
Yeah, just call me K.G. Kenneth.
Yeah, you know, there's always men like you that don't believe men like me. And just to prove that little Stephen Foster Burns' first squawk is the prettiest sound in the world, I've got permission from the National Broadcasting Company to play my record of it. You know, they don't usually allow people to do this sort of thing, but this squawk is such a pretty sound, they just had to break the rule. Are you ready to listen, Ken?
Well, all right, I'll listen.
Are you listening, Johnny?
I was right on the beam, sir.
You listening, Dottie?
Wouldn't miss this beautiful sound for the world, Bob.
Well, then, I want to tell you folks that we're making history here tonight. We really are. This is the first time, I suppose, that a baby's first squawk has been recorded on the air. Now, it's the truth. You've got to kind of overlook it. You know, imagine starting him out in life this way. He will be the youngest broadcaster that ever lived. Why, for a person to broadcast, you've at least got to give them a chance to catch their breath. And that's all I gave him. Of course, I've learned to talk on the intake, too. But now then, if the man in there's ready, and I think he's ready to play, he keeps signaling me that he is. The next sound you're going to hear is the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in my life, a record of my new little son, Stephen Foster Burns' first squawk. Now listen. Yes, I bet that sounded awful familiar to many a proud papa. Now, I'll leave it to anybody that heard it. Ain't that the prettiest sound in the world?
I ain't never been a papa, Bob. But I gotta admit, that's an awful pretty squawk.
Is the baby as pretty as its squawk, Bob?
Now, wait a minute, Dorothy. That's a baby boy, you know. They don't call boys pretty.
Not if yours favors you doesn't.
Well, I admit little Stevie ain't pretty yet, but, you know, he's rugged.
Were you glad it was a boy instead of a girl, Bob?
Well, Dottie, I was glad it was a boy for just one reason. It convinced me that Crosby hasn't got them all cornered.
Bob, everybody here in the Kraft Music Hall wants to congratulate you and Harriet. And I'm sure all the KMH clients join us.
At which point, the tactful Miss Dorothy L'Amour, anxious to sing a song about a man whose baby is nicer than Bob's new son, has cannily elected to sing Nobody's Baby.
I'm nobody's baby. I wonder why. Each night and day I pray the Lord up above, please send me down somebody to love. But nobody wants me. I'm blue somehow. Won't someone hear my plea and take a chance with me, because I'm nobody's baby now. You see, she's nobody's baby. We wonder why each night and day she prays a lot of papa. But nobody wants me. I'm blue somehow. Won't someone hear my plea and take a chance with me? Because I'm nobody's baby now.
Well, come on, Bob. Dottie's finished.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, you'll have to pardon me. I was just sitting over there, you know. I don't know what I'm doing. I swear I don't. I was just sitting over there thinking of little Stephen Foster Burns. He's just 4 days old today. He's my youngest one. I declare I don't know when I've been so nervous, and I've been nervous around here for the past 3 or 4 months. In fact, I've been nervous ever since Winchell first told me about it. But I'm getting so now that I stand up to it a lot better than I used to. I'm getting so I'm standing it better every year. Why, the thing that helped me out so much this year, there were so many things to get ready for the arrival of the little fella. I went out, I bought a new crib. My wife told me, she says, get an oak one this time. Get one that'll last. And I did, and then I took all the old nipples out and got them vulcanized. Why, it's the truth. I'm telling you, some of them nipples been vulcanized so many times they got patches on the patches. And, of course, you know, I suppose all of you know that he was born out at the house, little Stephen Foster, born out in the home. And so, of course, we just been living out there a short while, and I didn't want the stork to get lost. So I put a light in the room. I kept a light burning all night long, so that he could not only find the house, but, you know, I left the window open so he could swoop right in. I didn't make the mistake that Bing made with his last baby. That's little Lindsay. Bing hung a lantern on a post out in front of his house. And do you know that stork never did bring that baby in the house? Like everything else of Crosby's, little Lindsay was left at the post. Well, sir, you know that, now, my doctor, of course, one thing that helped is that I had the same doctor that I always have. I took up his option this year. the doctor kind of surprised me this year. I said, well, Doc, how much do I owe you this time? He says, oh, that's all right, Bob. This one's on me. Of course, he didn't actually say that, but I happen to know that he's here in the hall tonight, and that's the idea for it, did he? But, you know, for a while here, whenever Bing and I became a father, that's before the novelty wore off, there used to be an awful celebrating here in the Kraft Music Hall. I declare, for a while there, it looked like we was both just going stark mad. And at first we used to hand out cigars on all those occasions, but all the boys in the orchestra started getting tobacco heart. But you know, my folks, my own kin folks, they don't see any sense of me even mentioning things like this with the few that I got, because my folks, they really believe in having children. Now, and they've got a bunch of them. I'm telling you, I've got one uncle, that's my Uncle Fudd. He just loves children so much, and he's got so many of them, and
And now he would just dearly love to tell bedtime stories to his children at night, but he just can't do it. When he looks up and sees all them children in front of him, there's so many of them, he gets stage fright. Why, it's the truth. He's had so many of them that now every time he takes out his handkerchief, he just starts automatically folding it into a triangle. In fact, he still thinks that's what they mean by the eternal triangle. And I went down to see him not long ago, and he's still just as crazy about children as ever. And he lives way back in the mountains, and he never gets any news. So I started telling him about the World Series, who won the World Series, and all this, and the war. And he says, wait a minute, I don't care nothing about that. He says, there's only one thing I want to know about the outside world. He says, whatever happened to that feller that had all them five daughters at one time? I says, oh, you mean that Papa Dione? He says, yeah, that's him. I says, well, he's still living up in Canada. And Uncle Fudd says, did he ever have any more of them quintuplets? And I says, no. Uncle Fudd just shook his head kind of disgustedly. He says, I know that fella's just a flash in the pan. Well, now then, tonight I'm going to dedicate my number to little Stephen Foster Byrne, because I'm going to sing a song that I wrote myself. I call it The Wail of the Trail. And if I ain't that a title? It kind of outlines my whole life, you know. It tells the story of my life. I'm going to show him what I had to go through with. All right, boys, anytime you're ready. When I was a boy, I lived on a farm. I never done no good, and I never done no harm. I heard of the gold in Wyoming, and so I packed up my clothes and made ready to go. I crossed over hills or mountains or plains. I crossed a large river, I joined a large train. I left my country, my people, my home, out on the plains of Wyoming to roam. We put out our tents on the green grassy ground, while the mules and the horses was a-grazing all round. While taking refreshments, we heard a low wail. Was a band of Sioux Indians coming out on our trail. We sprung to our rifles with a flash in each eye. Boys shouted, our leader, we'll fight till we die. We was a brave bunch of 24, while that of the Indians was 100 or more. They crept down upon us like snakes in the grass. They gave a wild yell and the arrows flew past. Our leader jumped up with an arrow through his head. He whispered, oh mother, and fell over dead. Besides our brave leader, we lost two more men. But we kept on fighting with vigor and vim. We fit and we fit till the darkness come o'er, and all of the Indians lay dead on the floor. I stayed in the West and grew big and tall. I had no profession, I worked at 'em all. When I was a plumber, I made me a pipe. It's called a bazooka, but I ain't playing it tonight. No, I ain't gonna play the bazooka tonight. It might wake up Stevie, and that wouldn't be right. It also might cause an uncomfortable draft. So instead, I'll let Ken tell you all about craft.
Go ahead, Ken. Tell them all about it, boy. Now, before winter sets in, Kraft sends you a bright bouquet of flowers that'll make your table settings gay for months to come. I speak of the lovely new flower designs for the glasses that hold famous Kraft cheese spreads. This year, Kraft gives you not just one beautiful new pattern, but four. Yes, four different flower designs. A scarlet tulip, a graceful violet, a heaven blue cornflower, a jonquil the color of spring sunshine. And just think, you get one of these glasses every time you buy a Kraft cheese spread. Do you know all of the delicious varieties of cheese spreads that Kraft offers for sandwiches and salads and appetizers? For instance, the teasingly delicious one that's pink and flavory with chopped pimentos. The one that puts the delectable tang of Roquefort cheese in a smooth, spreadable form. The Kraft spread that gives you the delicacy of fine cream cheese plus bits of Hawaiian pineapple. The spread that's racy with sweet pickle relish. Well, that's just a hint of the wonderful assortment that Kraft gives you. When you go to the food store to see the lovely new flower design glasses, study the labels, too, so that you'll know all of the tantalizing spreads that Kraft puts at your service. Take home several varieties.
I have never been aboard a steamer. I am just content to be a dreamer. Even if I could afford a steamer, I would take the ferry boat every time. I love to ride the ferry, where music is so merry. There's a man who plays the concertina on the moonlit upper deck arena. While boys and girls are dancing, while sweethearts are romancing, life is like the Mardi Gras, and if you leave and if you lost, happy as we drink together, happy as we sing together, happy with a very good serenade. How I love to ride the ferry, 'cause I know that's where the music's merry. There's a man who plays a concertina on the moonlit upper deck arena. While the boys and girls are dancing, look around and you'll see sweethearts romancing. Life is like a Mardi Gras, but if you leave, happy,
'cause we're together.
Happy,
we'll sing together.
Happy Ferry Boat Serenade.
Following the Music Maid's rocking of the Ferry Boat Serenade, we're happy to welcome a man to the Kraft Music Hall whose polished performances have graced many of the screen's finest offerings during the past 10 years. A man who is at present in Alfred Hitchcock's dynamic film Foreign Correspondent, and who is soon to be seen with Betty Davis in Warner Brothers' forthcoming picture, The Letter.
Now, in case you don't know it, Ken's talking about Herbert Marshall, and I want to tell you there's a man I look up to.
Thank you, Bob. As a matter of fact, it's mutual. I've always marveled at you. I'm awed by any man like yourself who is, well, shall we say, different. You know what I mean when I say awed?
Awed.
That's exactly what I mean.
Well, when I come to Hollywood, Bart, I made a resolution I was going to be different. I said to myself, Robin, no matter what happens, don't you become just another pretty face.
Well, I have to hand it to you, Bob. You certainly stuck your resolution.
Well, I want to tell you, it took a lot of grit.
Yes, I can see it all over your face.
Well, a little soap and water will fix that.
I suppose you know, Bart, that when Bob came out here, the makeup men who were supposed to beautify him took a day off.
That's where they made their mistake.
Yeah, they should have taken the face off.
Ken, a face like Bob's is the price one has to pay for individuality.
Yeah, but I'm getting to think maybe I was overcharged.
Uh-huh. Or maybe shortchanged.
Well, anyhow, I want to tell you, Bart, you don't know how lucky you are. You're just naturally good-looking. You're just awful pretty, Bart. You sure... I tell you, and you know how to dress.
Oh, yes, I've known that for years. Been dressing myself ever since I was quite a small boy.
Well, it just ain't dress I'm talking about, Bart. You've got something I wish I had. You've got charm.
Bob, now, you have plenty of charm yourself. It's evident in all your pictures. What do you say, Ken? Don't you think Bob has charm?
Don't ask me. I work here.
If you could call what Ken does work.
Now, if you want to get the real unbiased lowdown on charm, Bart, ask a child, and little Betty Brewer ought to be a good judge of charm after playing opposite Fred McMurray in Rangers of Fortune.
Yeah, but now, let me do the asking. Now then, Betty, you've seen Mr. Marshall in pictures, haven't you?
Gosh, yes, we go to see all Mr. Marshall's pictures.
Don't you think he has a lot of charm?
I'll say.
See?
This is becoming embarrassing. Now, let me ask you a question, Betty. You've seen Mr. Burns in pictures, haven't you?
Well, we'd like to, but we only got enough money to see the better pictures.
Now, there is a young lady who handles a difficult situation with diplomacy and tact. If we're going to give away any bouquets for charm, Bob, it seems to me Betty deserves them.
Well, if you'd read what the New York movie critic said about Betty's acting in Rangers of Fortune, Bart, you'd know she's had plenty of bouquets thrown at her.
Did you read that stuff, too?
I wish somebody'd write some of that stuff about me.
Betty, it must have been quite a thrill going to New York for the opening of the picture. How did you like the big city?
Oh, gosh, it was awful exciting, but I don't think I'd like to live there.
Did anybody ask you to?
No.
Well, then what are you worrying about?
Oh, boy, I'm not taking any chances in case somebody suggests it. I like it here in Hollywood.
Well, it's only natural you should be loyal to the city that gave you your start.
Yeah, I know how she feels. I know because Van Buren not only gave me my start, but it encouraged me. It's the truth. They started me out of town and encouraged me to keep going.
Well, Bob, the city sure didn't give us our start. We had to go out and find a start for ourselves.
Where'd you look?
Nightclub.
I didn't think they'd allow a little girl of 13 to sing in nightclubs.
Well, I didn't get to sing in them. I sang out in the front. My brother and sister and I thought we could make a little money singing on the sidewalk outside.
That's the best part of a nightclub, the sidewalk outside.
Well, did you make any money out on the sidewalk?
Well, a little bit.
Doggone it, why didn't I think of
that? Don't worry, maybe it's not too late yet.
Yes, indeed, a young lady who handles a difficult situation with diplomacy and tact.
Yes.
Please tell me more about your fascinating career, Betty.
Well, we got flashed in the pan in a Gene Autry picture.
You got what in a Gene Autry picture?
Well, flashed, you know. We were on and off in a flash.
It all sounds rather like a fairy tale to me.
Yeah, I guess Betty's the first Cinderella we've ever had in the Kraft Music Hall.
And the first Cinderella who ever brought her brother and sisters to the party.
Well, the brother part is okay, Bart. That's Sonny over there. He's age 8. But there's only one sister. That's Eileen. That's the girl who looks like Betty. This other little girl's no relation. Her name is Colleen Collins.
But, Mr. Marshall, you can call me Pootsie.
Well, that's very nice of you, Colleen. But why should I call you Pootsie?
Because that's my name.
Well, that's a pretty good reason.
Isn't it?
I don't think we need to carry the matter any further, but I would like to know, how did you happen to get mixed up in the Brewer family?
Well, Pootsie lived across the street, and she liked to sing low harmony.
Well, it ain't easy to sing low harmony all by yourself.
Oh, that's why we let her sing with us. She lived across the street a long time before we even talked to each other.
And why didn't you talk to each other?
We didn't have anything to talk about.
Since when do girls have to have something to talk about in order to start talking?
Well, now, Bart, now... If you just stop to give the matter a little thought, you'll soon see that it's a lot harder for little girls to get acquainted than it is little boys.
Why's that, Bob?
Well, little boys, all they got to do is walk up to each other and say, "My name's Burns. You want to make something of it?"
Well, say, Bob, we didn't want to fight with Pootsie. We just wanted to sing with her.
And that's why Pootsie joined the Brewers.
And that's why she sings alto in our trio.
And that's why she became our... That's why our trio became a quartet.
Now, wait a minute here. I don't want to butt in here, but you people are missing something here. You're missing the chance for a good joke. You're talking about these Brewers and, you know, and they, she went over and sang with the Brewers and the Brewers were the cause of her singing. There's a chance. Do you know that the Brewers in this country have been the cause of more quartets than anybody in the world?
All right, bud.
Well, Betty, with Pootsie as alto, you take the lead?
No, Eileen takes the lead, and I take the top tenor. Pootsie takes the alto, and Sonny takes all the hot licks.
Sonny seems rather quiet. He hasn't said a word so far.
He's shy.
I am not. The girls just don't let me, talk.
Oh.
Do I gather from that you're not quite happy in your work?
Yeah, but I'd rather go out with the boys.
Hey, you know, it's funny to hear that on Thursday. That's the very line Grandpa Snazzy used to use on Saturday night.
Who arranges your numbers, Batty?
Looking for work, John Scott?
Well, we do all of our own arrangements, Mr. Trotter, and we practice in the back room of the house, and to hear the neighbors always yelling, we have to go out in the yard sometime.
Well, you're in a hall right now, Betty, and we'd like to hear you sing one of your extra special arrangements.
Well, all of our arrangements are extra special.
Honey, I sure could use you.
You know, I kind of like the way you do that South American way. Suppose you do that.
Okay, Mr. Burns. Ready, kid? Let's see. No, that's not the key. That's the key. I think that's right. Okay, come on. That's right. Okay.
Hi-ya, hi-ya. Have you ever danced in the tropics, in the hazy lazy, like kinda crazy, like South American way? Hi-ya, hi-ya. Have you ever kissed in the moonlight, in the grand and glorious, gay notorious, South American way? The land scheme of love is like a dream of love, the land scheme of love is in the vein. There is melody in their music. While they got you, sing it. Come on and swing it the South American way. Hi, hi.
I didn't realize the children sang a cappella.
Yeah, and good, too. You know, yeah. You know, they weren't kidding about that being an extra special arrangement either. Sonny, could you do some of those heart licks without the music?
Sure.
Well, he may not like his work, but he sure gives it all he's got.
Betty, I think that really calls for an encore.
Okay, pal. Let's go, kid.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill, on Blueberry Hill. When I found you, my heart stood still on Blueberry Hill and lingered until my dreams came true. The wind in the willow played love's sweet melody, but all of those vows we made were never to be. Though we're apart, you're part of me still, 'cause you were my thrill on Blueberry Hill. The wind in the willow played love's sweet melody, but all of those vows we made were never to be. Though we're apart,
you're
part of me still, 'cause you were my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
That course was for you, Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, pal. I feel highly honored.
You sure do believe in being fair, don't you, Mr. Marshall?
I certainly do, Betty.
Well, okay then. Now you can sing a course for us.
Oh, I don't sing especially. In fact, not at all.
Well, maybe you can get Mr. Burns to help you.
You really think that will help any?
Come on, Bart, don't be picky. Anything to amuse the kids here.
Right.
We love to sing again and again, but we're not singing men, so we'll leave it to Ken.
Thanks, pal.
Have you heard the news about this season's glasses for Kraft cheese spreads? They're smarter than ever before, so lovely, in fact, that they'd cost you a pretty penny if you went to buy them in a shop. For now, Kraft gives you four different flower designs. A gay tulip, a blue cornflower, a spring-like jonquil, a graceful violet. We call them posy pattern glasses, and we know you'll say they're charming. Probably you'll want to collect four different matched sets of these lovely flower pattern glasses. Or if you like, you can collect one big assorted set. For the artists who created these different flower patterns designed them to go together. And while you're collecting your set of posy pattern glasses, family will be enjoying all sorts of treats made with Kraft cheese spreads. For instance, Saturday night, if the crowd drops in, set out a tray full of Kraft spreads and crackers and let everybody make his own snack. Or for Sunday night supper, an assortment of Kraft cheese spread sandwiches. Kraft pineapple, Kraft pimento, and Kraft Roquefort cream cheese spreads would make a nice assortment. But perhaps you'd better study the labels on the Swanky Swig glasses at your food store and pick the varieties you know the members of your family will like the best. Make a note to stock the refrigerator with Kraft cheese spreads for the weekend, and at the same time, start your set of posy pattern glasses.
I sent for you, Carpenter, because I haven't seen you at any classes since last Friday.
Well, of course not, Professor Burns. As soon as I heard your little son was born over the weekend, I immediately went hunting for rabbits.
Hunting for rabbits? Why?
To get a little rabbit skin to wrap your baby bunting in.
Well, now.
Didn't I?
That's real thoughtful of you, Carpenter. Did you get any rabbit skin?
Oh, yes, sir. I got three beautiful pelts.
Well, where are they?
Where are they? Well, I got them right here. Now, just get a load of these three pelts. Here they are. Well, there you are, Professor Burns. I hope you like the pelts.
If I was you, Carpenter, I'd give them back to the bunny.
Oh, so you don't want to see the bunny hide?
I'd much rather see the carpenter hide.
I'm going.
You get it? And you better start looking for a place right now, because I'm not in the mood for anything but Kraft Music Hall business. And that's mighty important business, too, with Herbert Marshall and Dusalina Giannini, the opera singer, and Wingy Minone, the hot trumpet player on hand. And right now, Dorothy Lee Moore singing A Million Dreams Ago. You ready, Dorothy?
Yes, Dada.
Dada, what's that?
That's what little girls call their fathers.
Oh, I like sugar better.
Sugar? What's that?
That's what big girls call their daddies.
Guess I should have known it couldn't be. I'll lock my memories here in my heart, and here in my heart they'll stay. And through the years they'll always be part, a part of a lovely day. Goodbye, good luck, old friend, I'll smile and just pretend there was no end a million dreams ago.
He told her it was so a million dreams ago. He held her in his arms a million dreams ago. So many dreams have flown, so many nights alone. Guess she should have known it couldn't be. She'll lock her memories out of her heart, and out of her heart they'll stay. And through the years they'll always be part, a part of a lovely day. Goodbye, good luck, old friend. They'll smile and just pretend there was no end a million dreams ago. Ago.
I'll lock my memories here in my heart, and here in my heart they'll stay. And through the years they'll always be part, a part of a lovely day. Goodbye, good luck, old friend. I'll smile and just pretend there was no end a million dreams ago.
Dorothy, that was mighty pretty. Tell you the truth, I liked it so much I'd insist on you doing it all over again, but we ain't heard from Wingy Minone yet.
Of course, I don't know whether that's good or bad. He may be one of the hottest trumpet players in the world, but the last time Winger was here in the hall, that was just after he made the picture Rhythm on the River, he couldn't get a word of English. We couldn't get a word of English out of the man. Every time anybody asked him anything, all he'd say was, "Dug it." Ain't that right, Wingy?
That's right, boy.
That was the old Wingy.
Wingy, you mean... Now, wait a minute. You mean to say no more dug it? Robin, my digging days are long gone.
he's not kidding, Bob. Wingy's a changed man.
I got me a new art form.
You no longer specialize in the hot trumpet, Wingy?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Marshall, things are different now. I used to say vase, now I say vase. I used to say aunt, now I say aunt. I used to say tomato, now I say rhubarb.
And why rhubarb?
Because I don't like tomatoes.
Maybe we better send for the old Wingy.
It's too late, Bob. That barrel house stuff on the three-valve trumpet ain't my racket anymore. It ain't dignified. I'm in society now, giving dancing lessons.
Oh, dancing lessons. The Nijinsky of New Orleans, huh?
Just call me Chapsicorn.
Where'd you get a name like that?
Oh, I just dug it.
Well, Mr. Chapsicory, you teach things like the minuet and the old-fashioned waltz, I presume?
Not me. I'm specializing.
The rumba, I presume?
No, I'm teaching the Shorty George, I presume.
The Shorty George? What in the world is the Shorty George?
Bob, I don't know what makes me think this, but I have a feeling we shouldn't have asked.
Look, how does the Shorty George go, Wingy?
Well, first I point my toe like that. Got it?
I got it.
I look around and I'm mellow. Then I look to the right and I'm extra mellow. Then I look to the left and bend way over like I lost a nickel. I'm ready to take off on the Shorty George like this.
Looks as if he's going downstairs to fix the furnace.
Yeah, he sure does. Hey, Wingy, when you come up out of that cellar, bring up a scuttle of egg coals.
Wingy, where'd you get that Shorty George?
From a couple of friends of mine from New Orleans. A pair of boys named Ernest Freelover and Charlie Icewater. But you gotta have a long coat for that proper Shorty Georgian.
Yeah, that ain't no pea jacket you got on there.
This is my guest shot coat. My draper made it special. Goes with my reading trumpet and my fake music. And I'm ready anytime you say so, Professor.
Well, I'm saying so.
And so the new Wingy, a more subdued Wingy, a much more classical Wingy, raises the trumpet to his lips and plays the dulcet tones of Rimsky-Rachmaninoff's Ya Polyushchil Svobodyu, the second movement. Wingy, you're on.
Okay. Rachmaninoff's Ya Polyushchil Svobodyu, second movement. And man, I'm solid moving. Say, Mr. Trotter, is all them boys full of rhythm?
Yes, sir.
Well, boy, they better have it, because if they ain't got it, I'm going to run them out of here one by one. If we got rhythm,
yeah,
if we got rhythm,
yeah,
if we got rhythm,
yeah,
that's all I want to know. If Herb Marshall got it,
yeah,
Dorothy Lamar,
yeah,
Bob Burns,
yeah,
that's all I want to know. Oh, Lady Sunshine, you bring on the rain, and when I hit that high H, boy, the pain. This Carpenter got it,
yeah,
Trotter got it,
yeah,
the Brewer kids,
yeah,
that's all I want to know, because I'm ready to go.
Thank you.
that was a swell piece you played, Wingy. I like that classical stuff. That's why we got Dusalina Giannini of the Metropolitan Opera Company here in the hall now, although I'm kind of surprised to see that you're still here, Dusalina.
Why, Bob?
Well, I thought maybe a hot trumpet solo like Wingy's might scare you away.
Not me, Bob. I don't let a blast like that baffle me.
Well, now, it'd baffle you if you cut loose with a blast like that while you're singing. Honestly, yeah. Dusalina, I think we're all, well, you know, we'll all understand each other much better if you tell them what you're singing.
Well, I'm going to sing the aria Voi lo sapete o mamma from Cavalleria Rusticana with Raymond McPeters at the piano.
Thank you, Dusalina. You know, I may not look like anyone who appreciates beautiful music, but I know it when I hear it, and I just heard it.
That's sweet of you, Bob.
He's just echoing my sentiment.
Thanks, pal.
Dusalina, you really sharp tonight.
Thanks, Wingy. If you liked it, I guess opera really is reaching the masses.
I want to tell you, Dusalina, that song you just sang, that was a hard one. Where'd you find a hard song like that?
I dug it.
Man, she's really hip.
Sure I'm hip. On the way over here, I said to myself, Dusalina, you'd better take your hip boots off because you're going to break it up tonight.
Careful, Dusalina. You're starting to talk like Wiggy. Next thing you'll be singing Beat Me Daddy 8 to the Bar.
Oh, I'll do better than that. I'll sing I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Now, there you are. We go to a lot of trouble trying to make the Kraft Music Hall high class. We invite an important opera star like Dusalina Giannini, and look what happens.
Nothing wrong in that, Bob. Perhaps Miss Giannini is an admirer of Wingy's work.
That's right, Mr. Marshall. I am. I love to listen to Wingy on the jukeboxes.
Don't tell me a member of the Metropolitan Opera Company like you likes to listen to jukeboxes.
Why not? The trick nowadays is how to avoid listening to them.
Well, I know how it is. We've even had trouble out at our house. The last time I put a quarter in the gas meter, it played 5 choruses of I'll Never Smile Again.
Now, we're having the same trouble with our icebox.
Well, but that still don't account for Dusalina Giannini discussing music with Wingy Manone.
Do you mean to imply that Wingy isn't qualified to discuss music?
Discuss it? He can't even read it.
Can't? Well, then how does he play it?
Well, who says he does?
Gentlemen, my theory is that the trouble with musicians nowadays is too much reading. And it ain't good in emergencies.
What kind of emergency?
Just say I got a job playing first trumpet with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra.
That ain't an emergency. That's a calamity.
Calamity? It's a catastrophe. There we are, me and the Philharmonic, ripping through Debussy, and bang, the lights go out.
Well, what of it?
I'm the only one still playing.
Well, I'm on your side now, Wingy. Anybody who can play the way you do, entirely by ear, may not be a great musician, but you sure have the makings.
The makings? It sounds to me more like the leavings.
That's a nice crack from a guy who plays the bazooka.
I suppose there's no accounting for musical taste. Music is rather like that famous porridge. Some like it cold and some like it hot.
I like mine mellow.
Well, you come around to the Metropolitan Opera sometime, Wingy. We like ours mellow, too. We're even attempting more and more operas in English.
Well, that's going to make it a lot easier for my folks to understand opera.
Yes, now all they'll have to learn to understand is English.
Well, now, just as an illustration of how we're endeavoring to modernize opera, I'll tell you something that happened. The Metropolitan people called in Robert Umbruster to modernize an opera score. And in one of his passages, the trombone players were instructed to put derbies on their trombones.
That must have been something new for the boys at the Met.
Well, it certainly confused them. When they reached the passage with the derbies, there was a note on the music calling for a hat. It said, un chapeau. They looked at it. One of them turned to the other and said, un chapeau? And the other shrugged and said, un chapeau. So they put on their hats.
Dusalina, I'd like to see you stay here just to tell stories like that, but I'd much rather hear you say it. We've been hearing Funiculi, Funicula sung so much lately, it's getting hard to recognize. But here's Dusalina Giannini singing that grand old tune the way it was meant to be sung. Oh, Lady, that was really wonderful. In fact, that's so good, I'm ready for an encore right away.
Well, okay, Bob. I've got one right here. And it's for the sweetest boy in the world. You know, of course, who I mean.
Why, of course you do, Dulcelina, especially when you say the sweetest boy in the world.
Who?
Me.
Well, you're close, but not close enough. It's for another Burns. Stephen Foster Burns, the new little baby. I'm going to sing this Brahms lullaby just for little Steve.
Dulcelina, that's awfully sweet of
you. Lullaby and good night with Susan Badite creep into thy bed. There pillow thy head. If God will, thou shalt wake when the morning doth break. If God will, thou shalt wake when the
Dulcelina, I sure want to thank you for that. You know, this is a remarkable age we're living in. Special lullabies over the air for newborn babies and a lot of good advice for everybody. Like this from Ken Carpenter, for instance. Go ahead, Ken. Start advising.
What luck for all you ladies who love fine glassware. This season, Kraft cheese spreads come in the loveliest glasses ever. Not just one pattern, but four gay garden flower designs. The popular tulip, the graceful violet, an azure cornflower, a sunny jonquil. This season, you can collect four different matched sets of swanky swigs, or one gay bouquet set, including all four flowers that are so cleverly designed that they go together perfectly. We know that every hostess will love these smart glasses, and how the family and guests will enjoy the Kraft cheese spreads. Why, with an assortment of these spreads, you can whisk together a whole array of tempting appetizers in a jiffy. For the children's lunches, good wholesome sandwiches made with Kraft spreads are a boon to every hurried mother and a favorite with the youngsters. Just add a bit of Kraft pimento or Roquefort or olive cream spread to your vegetable salads and you have a new treat. A little Kraft pineapple cream cheese spread in the fruit salad is a bright idea, too. Why, you'll use these tantalizing spreads a dozen different ways. So stock up tomorrow morning when you go into the food store. Remember, it's Kraft cheese spreads that bring you the lovely glasses gay with flowers.
Bravo, John Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall.
You know, really, John, I've long been an admirer of your work, and as such, I think the job you've just done, if not your best, is certainly your shortest.
That's awfully nice of you to say, sir.
I wish there were only some way that I could, how shall I say it, make it up to you. We pay you for the pleasure your music has given me.
I appreciate that, Bart. And if you mean what you say, you could do something for me because, well, like Bob says, you got style, you got polish, you got a way with women.
Johnny, don't tell me you're having trouble with a woman.
She's gone and left me, Dottie.
And what do you think that I can do about it, John?
She's a great admirer of yours, Bart. If you ask her to come back, she would.
I wouldn't be so sure of that, John. What did she leave you for?
A 2-week vacation.
Then what's there to worry about?
She's my cook, man. I'm miserable.
There's only one person Johnny's really sentimental about, Bart, and that's his cook.
Can I help it if I have a soft spot in my heart? A soft spot in my heart. I'm just choking up here, Bart.
Yeah,
can I help it if I have a soft spot in my heart for good food?
Are you sure that soft spot ain't in your head?
No, I'm surprised at you, Bob. A remark like that is as cynical as a hot trumpet chorus in the middle of a sentimental love song.
And just how cynical that can be is best explained right now as Dorothy L'Amour sings I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, into which we interpolate a hot trumpet chorus by Wingy Minone. You ready, Dottie?
Ready.
You ready, Wingy?
Yours to command, Geek.
Go ahead, Johnny. This ought to be good.
Never thought I'd fall, but now I hear love call. I'm getting sentimental over you. Things you say and do just thrill me through and through. I'm getting sentimental over you. I thought I was happy, I could live without love. Now I must admit, love is all I'm thinking of. Won't you please be kind and just make up your mind? It will be sweet and gentle. Be gentle with me, because I'm sentimental over you.
Thursday, same time things got started here tonight. We ought to have a lot doing here in the Kraft Music Hall, because we're expecting our old pal Edward Everett Horton and Eddie Albert. He's going to be here, so is Charlie Holland. Charlie's a young tenor who really has caught on awful big out here in Hollywood. So until then, good night, everybody.
Tune in the Kraft Music Hall next week at the same time to hear Bob Burns with Johnny Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids, and Bob's special guests for the evening, Edward Everett Horton, Eddie Albert, Charles Holland, and Dorothy L'Amour. The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.